Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Continental Extreme Contact DWS 06 Plus. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Thursday, February 2nd. Some days you wake up, you don't even remember what day it is. It's been that kind of week, ladies and germs. That kind of week. We had massive news on Wednesday with the GOAT, Tom Brady, retiring the second year in a row. On February 1st, Tom Brady decided to retire. I don't know. I think I've talked about this before, guys. For whatever reason, endings for me is just like, Hall of Fame. I can't get that worked up about it. Tom Brady announces his retirement, and I'm just like, okay. And I'm quickly off Brady, and I'm like, okay, what are the Raiders going to do? What is Tampa going to do? Derek Carr's your big winner. And I start thinking about next. What's next? I'm not really taking the time to soak in Brady's retirement. And part of it's because he retired last year and everybody got worked up. And then he came back 40 days later. I know this time it's for real. And Brady's going to announce another video here shortly. And it's serious. Okay, maybe we'll see. I'm kind of getting annoyed. Brett Favre, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers has given us this retirement stuff. Like, guys, just as they like to say, in the streets, shit or get off the pot. I will say the funniest comment I saw from Tom Brady. Well, not from Tom Brady, about Tom Brady's retirement. Tom Brady has more retirements, too, than Aaron Rodgers has Super Bowls, one. I had to laugh, folks. I had to. Anyways, well, we all know Brady, as of now, is the GOAT. 6 Super Bowls with the Patriots, 1 with the Bucks, total of 7. Career leader in passing yards, touchdowns, 3 MVP awards. I mean, listen, he is without peer with, you know, at the quarterback position. I do think we could be setting up for a Michael Jordan versus LeBron situation. Yeah, I know, groan. Where Tom Brady has 7. Patrick Mahomes doesn't get to 7. And then everybody's saying, well, Patrick Mahomes is better than Tom Brady was. Patrick Mahomes extends plays. He does it with his legs. He makes unbelievable throws. He's ridiculous. That we could have that, but Pat Mahomes isn't even 30 yet. We're going to have to table that for years. Brady, of course, now is going to be my teammate over at Fox Sports, allegedly. We'll see what happens. Maybe he goes to the Super Bowl, maybe not. I don't think I need to rehash my 1.5 Tom Brady interviews. First one, I was living in New York City. I've told this many times on the pod. Tier one listeners know what the heck's up. I get working at this magazine in New York City, Us Weekly, and they say, hey, Jason, there's a Victoria's Secret party. I'm like, I'm in. Yeah, can you interview Tom Brady? He won a Super Bowl. He was super young early in his career. This must have been 2002. I don't know. Maybe he had two Super Bowls. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. So my roommate, a random dude who I met to be my roommate, he played football. I think he was walk-on at Penn State. And I'm like, yo, Brian, I just got this late invite. You want to come with? He's like, Victoria's Secret? Yeah, I'm in. So we go there. It's a good party. And I walk into this other room, and then Tom Brady's just standing there talking to some dudes. I'm like, oh, I got to go talk to Brady. I'll be right back. And he just stands there, watches I go up to Brady. I'm like, hey, Tom, what's up? Jason, Us Weekly. You got a quick sec? He's like, yeah, sure. A couple questions, sure. So his buddies back off, and then I don't even remember what I asked Brady. This is like 18, 15, 20 years ago. And I don't remember how far we had gotten, but Brady was totally open to just talking about whatever. He didn't care. He was super friendly. All of a sudden, a Victoria's Secret model, I don't know who it was. I don't think it was Giselle. Just comes right over, like I'm not even there, and just starts talking to Tom Brady. And of course, at that point, he starts talking to her. And then he kind of gives me the signal, did you got everything? Okay, all right. And then, you know, I just kind of receded into the spotlight. Brady's super nice guy. So then I see him at the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. I want to say it was like a year later, but obviously the Patriots were not playing in the Super Bowl. And Brady was hammered. And I'm in this like VIP area, and you know, Brady's surrounded by guys. I cannot remember the other guys that were around him. But basically, you know, I had been drinking, so I didn't care. I just roll up to Brady. I'm like, Tom, what up? You remember me? Hey, yeah, Us Weekly. He's like, oh, dude, no interview tonight, man. I have way too much to drink. And he was super friendly about it. And I was like, all right, I dig that. I probably wasn't going to record anyway. I was just going to try to talk to you and look cool, you know, one of those moments. But overall, my two encounters with Tom Brady, super friendly guy. I do find it a little odd that he retired because his wife told him to. Then he went back to football. His wife said, no, I'm divorcing you. He said, fine. And then a year later, he retires. I'm not going to break that down or give it too much thought, but it just, if you say that out loud, let it sink in. Something, it just doesn't fit right. I don't want to say anything I regret, but at any rate, congrats to Tom Brady on all his success. If he doesn't come back, Tampa Bay is screwed unless they make a play for Carr. If you saw the news on Wednesday, Jimmy Garoppolo, according to Kyle Shanahan, very, very unlikely that he's on the team in 2023. So Jimmy G becomes eligible. I think if you got to rank the option quarterbacks, like I'm assuming Lamar Jackson's going to get the tag, he's not available. I think you got to go Derek Carr. Once the Raiders cut him, I cannot imagine them trading him. He has the no-trade clause. He can get a bidding war started. He's the number one guy on the market. I believe Jimmy G would be two. Even if the Giants let Daniel Jones hit the market, and again, they'll probably give him the non-exclusive franchise, I wouldn't take Daniel Jones over Jimmy. Hell no. I'm not a believer in Daniel Jones. I might consider Ryan Tannehill over Daniel Jones. I don't know. I'd have to give that some thought. But bottom line is Derek Carr, his price just went up. I know it sounds crazy, but the idea that Derek Carr is going to be making like $30 million next year seems crazy. It does. He's going to be making considerably more than that. You've got teams like the Giants, the Panthers, Tampa Bay. I mean, I don't think New Orleans gets involved, but stranger things have happened. Mostly, I would say NFC. Like, I think there's several teams in the NFC that would say, dude, look at the path. Who's the best quarterback in the NFC? Aaron Rodgers? Okay. Didn't have a great year, and he's 39. After that, Jalen Hurts? Matt Stafford coming off an injury? Dak? No. Kirk Cousins? Probably not. I don't know. The NFC is legit wide open. Like, Jared Goff might be a top five quarterback in the NFC. I don't know. It's wacky, wild, Kool-Aid style. At any rate, congrats Tom Brady on a great career. The rest of the podcast is going to be, I think, enjoyed greatly by hoop heads, historians. Mitch Lawrence, longtime writer for the Daily News in New York, now lives in Texas in the middle of an ice storm. Oof, sounds brutal. And he has a Sirius Radio XM show. A Sirius XM radio show, goodness gracious. And We talk NBA. We disagree on a lot. Now, he's a little more old school than I am. He has Bill Russell on his Mount Rushmore. And I just was like, whoa, Mitch, come on. And anyway, yeah. So I think it's good talk. You guys will enjoy it. Enjoy Mitch Lawrence, Sirius XM Radio NBA host.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome into Straight Fire a guest who is in the midst of a brutal weather hit down in Texas. It is absolutely snowy and icy. It's not going well. Mitch Lawrence, how are you, man?
Yeah, you said it right. We're in the middle of a lot of sleet and ice. And, you know, I lived in New York for a long time, and they know how to handle it up here. Down here, when it's snowy and icy, things basically grind to a halt. So it's a little different, but that's okay. That's all right. There's plenty of NBA to watch on TV. How are you doing? All right, Jason?
Excellent. Enjoying the NBA as well. I guess we could start with it's cold in where you are. It is icy. And so it's almost like Luka Doncic. He's so cold. He's a cold-blooded killer. Mitch, I've said for, I think, the better part of a year and a half that I believe he's the best player in the NBA. He makes everyone around him better. Nobody else does that to his level right now. He's parts LeBron. He's parts Magic Johnson. And just an assassin with the Jordan-level scoring. I believe he leads the NBA in triple-doubles, or he's second to Jokic. He's second to Jokic. I mean, Mitch, seeing this guy on the reg, tell me about it. Luka Doncic, would you agree best player in the league?
Best offensive player in the league. I wouldn't go to say, you know, defensive end. But look, I mean, first of all, look what they have to work with in Dallas.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a surefire, he doesn't have anything close to an all-star, I don't think, next to him. The best player that they had next to him, they gave up, didn't get anything for him in free agency, Jalen Brunson, which is a huge mistake by the Mavericks and Mark Cuban. And they're paying for it because you could just tell it's just a one-man show. He's just dragging this team, carrying them as far as he can. It's a lot of heavy lifting. He's got, you know, Christian Wood, who's been hurt, but he's probably their next best player. Tim Hardaway Jr., Dorian Finn. He doesn't have a great ensemble, so it's going to be very hard for him to replicate what they did last year, Jason, getting as deep as the Western Conference Finals. They could be, although they're in a playoff position now, I think they're in sixth in the West behind Golden State, they could be one and done very easily. And that's because they have to upgrade the talent around him.
Yeah, that's easier said than done. They don't really have any slam dunk moves to be made. That being said, one and done, I believe they took the Clippers to six and then seven. And then last year they went to the Western Conference Finals. But like, what can they do, Mitch? They're just kind of hamstrung by the cap. Yep. They're not in bad shape, but they just have a lot of like C-plus level players.
Right.
And that's tough to like cobble together some C-pluses to get an A. I don't know that there's an A out there. Do they make a splashy move for Zach LaVine, or does that not even do anything?
He's been mentioned. You want to take on all that contract with Zach LaVine, who hasn't done really any type of big winning at all in Chicago. I don't even know if Chicago would be interested in the parts that Dallas could send them. I think you hit it on the head. It's very hard to upgrade your talent level if you don't have a lot to offer people, even in a package. So I don't know what Jason Kidd and Nico Harrison are going to do, but they know as well as you and I that when you look at the top teams in the West, they just don't stack up, except for having Luka Doncic, who's a surefire MVP top five type player. After that, you get down to, I was talking to a scout the other day. I said, where would you put Christian Wood in the top? Is he a 60 to 70? Player? Yeah, 60 to 70. That's not good enough. If you look at all the best teams in the league, they have an elite player, top 5-10, and then they have guys sprinkled throughout in the teams. I mean, look at Boston with Tatum and Brown and the other players they have. Look at Milwaukee with their big three. They've won a title. You got Jokic, who might win his third consecutive MVP. Hasn't been done in what, since Larry Bird in 86. He's got Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and other players. Golden State off to a bad start for them. Who knows if they can ever turn around? It's we know what they have. They have championship players. Dallas is a long way from that level. They're two or three. They're a good, I'd say they're on the third tier overall, probably. After you get through, you know, Boston, Milwaukee. I still put Golden State, when they're all healthy, on a kind of a top tier. They haven't proved it yet. But I mean, you know, Dallas is just, this is this Brunson loss, when you look at it, it is still mystifying to me. It's one thing to lose the player. You have to get something for him. For him to just walk out the door, them not getting any kind of really compensation, that's just not good.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm looking at the roster and who's making what. Spencer Dinwiddie, 20 mil. Hardaway, 19. Davis Bertans, who comes off the bench and doesn't do much, 16. Yeah. Wood, 14. Dorian Finney-Smith, 12. And I'm starting to have flashbacks to LeBron and one of the weakest supporting casts in NBA Finals history. You remember when he was 23?
Yeah,
07, that's right. He beat the Pistons in that memorable series. They get to the finals, and they get swept by the Spurs. I don't see why Luka can't take this group to the finals. Like, who are you afraid of, Mitch, in the West, if you're Luka Doncic? Who do you fear?
That's a great comment. This year, you're not afraid of anybody. Denver is on a pace, I think, to win 58 games, maybe 57. I had it written down. Memphis in second place. They're on a pace. Denver's on a pace to win 56. Memphis is on a pace to win like 53 or 54 games. There's no super team. The resident dynasty has internal issues. We're talking about the Warriors, obviously. They can't win on the road. They're on a pace to win like 42 games. Who knows if they're going to turn around? No. You're right. There's nobody you're scared of. And by the way, in either conference, because really when you look at it, and I put a lot of stock into this, Jason, I don't know how you feel. I always look at, who are the teams that have won? They automatically get a leg up if they've come back with their core, because they've gone through the battles. They know what it takes to win. They have the championship DNA. Golden State has that. Milwaukee has that. That's basically it. There's nobody else. Those are the teams that when you get into a seven-game series, they probably have an advantage because they've been there and they've done that. This year, Chris Middleton's hasn't played a lot. Golden State definitely doesn't look like a dynasty team at all. So there's really nobody you're worried about. I just look at Dallas and saying they'd have to get another remarkably favorable draw like they had last year. They had Utah in the first round, right? And Utah was, you know, exposed. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and that crew, they had run their course. So Dallas, even with Luka out, was winning that series. He was out for a few games. They were still winning games. And then the next series, they were playing a Phoenix team that really, the window to me has closed on that team.
Interesting.
So what I'm saying is, yeah, if Dallas gets a real favorable draw and there are injuries to the teams that they're playing, that's fine. But I don't think it happens 2 years in a row.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Kumho tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Kumho test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cameron Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't think the Suns were insurmountable last year. I think I picked the Mavs in that series. But I'm looking back. Mitch, they won 64 games, most in the league.
Yes,
and
they
had the highest point differential in the NBA, 7.4. And it's like, if Luka can take down those guys, and Game 7 was in Phoenix, and I think they won by like 75 points. That
I forgot
to score.
Yeah,
right. Incredible game. Like, I'm just not betting against Luka Doncic. Like, the guy's that good. I mean, again, you've been in New York. You've seen Jordan at his prime and coming up. You've seen LeBron. I don't know. Where do you put Luka in that crew?
He's not in that crew. He's not in that crew.
Definitely not.
No, not yet. Not yet. I mean,
at 23, he's 23 though.
I think
he's accomplished more at 23 than Jordan did.
You know, you got to remember something about Michael Jordan.
Yes.
From the time he stepped on the court, he was not just a hellacious offensive player. He was a lockdown defensive player. A lot of people, you know, don't remember
that. Yeah, the Luka defense leaves something to be desired. I remember the Suns. Remember that last year the Suns were hunting him?
Yes.
Early in the series, right. And then talking trash about it. And then it came back to bite him, and Luka ended up getting the last laugh. Let's talk about the Suns real quick.
Well,
what do you make of them, Mitch? Is it over their little run or whatever? What do you attribute it?
Because
it's happened quick.
Well, you know, they were up 2. Just think about this. They were up 2-0 in that finals against the Bucks. And then Giannis, basically, all of a sudden to perform, it was like a man among boys. And they lost the last 4 games. Because Chris Paul, again, got hurt at the wrong time in a playoff series, which we've seen before. That had a lot to do with it. But all credit to Milwaukee. They were the better team for those final 4 games. And since then, I know that they've put together, you know, their regular seasons, whatever. Hey, in the playoffs, they were exposed last year. They've got problems now with Chris Paul injury-wise. He could be traded. You got Devin Booker who's out. You don't know what his status is going to be. I mean, look, hopefully he comes back healthy. He's a great young scorer. They obviously don't feature Ayton. They don't like him. I don't even know why they brought him back. Jay Crowder's probably going to get moved to the Bucks. I mean, no, this team, I think they reached their pinnacle at when they were up 2-0 in the finals a couple of years ago. So I'm not expecting big things from them. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they were to break up their team. And the fact that are being sold, I don't know when the sale's going to go through in terms of when, right? I mean, that's another thing, because anytime there's a sale of a team, the new owner usually comes in and wants to put his own imprint on the team, whether it's changing the front office, bringing in his own guy to run basketball operations. We'll see what happens there. So no, I'm not looking at Phoenix. To me, is not on an upward trajectory. They are going down. Teams like Memphis, Denver, Those are the teams on the rise in the West.
Interesting. So I just looked at the salaries in Phoenix. Oh my gosh, Ayton's contract is, what an albatross. 30 mil this year. Chris Paul, 28 mil, and he's got two more years at 30 yes. after this. Yes. I like Bridges, but Landry Shamet got a lot of money. Boy, the Suns, they are in for a world of hurt. So it's interesting. You mentioned Denver and Memphis. And I just look at Memphis and I see fun regular season team, talk way too much trash, and what's going to happen in the postseason.
Right.
They ain't getting by Golden State. I would take the Lakers in a series against Memphis. I don't know. A lot of people are out on the Lakers, but I see them as kind of an undervalued asset due to the injuries. People think they're garbage. Would you agree or no?
About Memphis or the Lakers or both?
Well, the Lakers is an undervalued asset against Memphis.
Oh, if you had those teams play in a playoff series?
Yeah.
Well, if, you know, if Anthony Davis is healthy and LeBron
James,
you always have to start there. Yeah. If Anthony Davis is out and LeBron is trying to carry a team and Russell Westbrook's erratic, I guess
they're not
winning
getting,
that series. No. You know, but I mean, but tell me, and this, we always talk about this with teams like the Lakers and the Nets. If all these guys are healthy because of what they've done, I'm not going to, you know, the Lakers still though have other flaws. They're not roster construction defensively. You wonder about them. The point about Memphis is when Ja came out around Christmas and said, you know, I'm fine in the West. Like, you know, like we got the West. Since then, they've been a 500 team against the West.
They talk way too much.
They talk a lot, not just to Shannon Sharp, but they talk a lot. So, you know, I mean, they're fun, but they're also, those are the type of things that if they come back to bite them, I still think that as long as Ja's upright and launching like nobody else, and, you know, the way he gets off the ground and the way he competes and the way they all compete, I think they're going to be a tough out. But
interesting.
You know, it's not a team that you look at and you say, wow, they've got Ja and this guy. They've got Ja and Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Dylan Brooks. And okay.
Yeah, but they're not. Are you afraid of those guys, Mitch, in a playoff series? If you're the Lakers, you got LeBron and AD healthy.
Well,
everybody healthy on both teams. Yeah, I'm not afraid of the Memphis Grizzlies.
It also remains to be seen where we are in the playoffs, what kind of shape LeBron is in terms of, you know, is he dragging in the playoffs? What kind of physical condition he's in? He can't close like he used to. He can't.
Yeah.
And now he goes to the basket against Boston. He can't even get a foul call.
Ah, the disrespect.
But
unbelievable.
That would be a look. The NBA would love to have the Lakers in the playoffs. We just need to know if they'll make the play-in tournament.
They're going to be fine. As long as they're healthy, they're fine. So wait, Mitch, it seems like you think Denver and Memphis are the two best teams in the West. And again, to the casual guy who listens to our podcast, has mostly been on NFL all the season, and is now starting to pivot to the NBA, is like, wait a minute. You're telling me Denver or Memphis are coming out of the West? And I'm like, again, I like MPJ. He's had an injury history. I love Jamal Murray. I think Jokic is a little overrated in the playoffs, and I'll just ask you nicely, like, are you afraid of this team?
No.
Come May, if you are the Lakers or the Warriors.
No, Warriors, no, definitely.
Yeah.
See, the thing about the Warriors is, and they approach it from a different mindset than anybody else, they've won titles with this group. They proved last year they don't need Kevin Durant. If they overcome all these issues they've had this year, the number one still, I think, being what's going on with Jordan Poole and the rest of the guys and the whole Draymond Green thing. As Steve Kerr put it way back when it happened, it's the worst crisis we've had since we've been here. If they overcome all that and they're healthy, they have all the winning experience more than anybody else. They trump everybody else in the West. Nobody. The Clippers, Denver, Memphis, Sacramento. None of these teams have done any kind of winning like these guys have. The only thing you would wonder would be, as you know, as they get ready to embark on another, what they hope is a deep playoff run, are they going to have the legs? Because sometimes it catches up with you, all these extra, you know, you play multiple playoff rounds over the years. Sometimes that can catch up with you, but the saving grace is in the playoffs. You don't play back to back, and you know, the schedule, you can deal with it. But that Golden State's a unique team. Because right now, they look like a disaster compared to what they've been. And they are not at all, even though they're the dynasty, There's no super team. And I got a point about that too. And the resident dynasty doesn't look like a dynasty. Here's my point about the super team. There's no super team. There's no team right now that's headed for 60 wins. We haven't had an NBA without a 60-win team in the last 22 years, since 2001. Wow. Now, 60 wins isn't a guarantee. You've seen 60-win teams. The Mavericks had a great 60-win team, 67-win team back in
67, Dirk, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and they got beat in the first round. That's no guarantee.
Aaron Davis.
But I think it is an indicator of a 60-win team is usually a great, you would say they're a great regular season team. Right now, I can't even tell you the Denver and Memphis are great regular season teams. I told you before, Denver's on a pace to win 56 games. That's not a great team. That's a very good team. And in the East, as great as the Celtics have been, they're only destined. They're on a pace to win 58. Milwaukee, 55. We don't know about Boston and Joe Mazzulla in the heat of the playoffs. You know, Joe Mazzulla is a guy. What a great story. He coached where? Fairmont State in West Virginia. He gets thrown into this thing to be the head coach. Will Hardy leaves to go to Utah. Ime Udoka gets embroiled in this scandal where he's basically suspended / fired. And you're going to have a guy, Joe Mazzulla, and people are like, well, what's the big deal? Greg Popovich screwed up kicks against Miami in 2013 and didn't have Tim Duncan on the floor to get the biggest rebound of the night when Chris Bosh got the rebound after Ray Allen. Rick Pitino, when he coached Kentucky back in the day, didn't guard Grant Hill on the inbounds, and he had an unobstructed view to throw to Christian Laettner. These are great head coaches who have much more experience than Joe Mazzulla, who's going to be in his first playoff rodeo. You mean to tell me he can't make a big screw up now and then?
It's not a bad point. I do want to go back to the 60-win thing, because I hadn't heard anybody say that. So 22 years. There, I would say there's some really, really good teams this year. All we read about in the preseason, Mitch, was, oh, the tanking for Wembanyama is going to be historic. And I almost wonder, is something happening in the league now where the regular season results are minimized? We saw Phoenix last year win 67, went all out in the regular season and flopped out in the second round. Chris Paul ran out of gas halfway through that series. I almost wonder, Mitch, is there less value in winning or trying to win 60-plus games? Because ultimately, like, what does it really matter? And teams aren't afraid to go on the road anymore. We just saw in the NFL, nobody's afraid to go on the road in the playoffs.
Golden State should be afraid to go on the road. They're terrible on the road.
Well, they're not very good on the road right now.
But they've won on the road.
But it's a regular season.
Here's the deal. Yes, the regular season, the teams don't value it. How do we know that? Players don't play. The biggest scandal going around right now in the NBA is that you don't know who's showing up from game to game. You don't. Yeah. Golden State on a back-to-back after losing in overtime to Boston goes into Cleveland. Nobody plays. The Cleveland fans get screwed. People put down their hard-earned dollars in Cleveland to go see that team. What is
What
does Steve Kerr say after the game? It's a big topic. No, it's a big problem. You have to use the word problem. Well, it's a problem for the league. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you're alienating your fan base. And Adam Silver is going to have to, at some point with his owners, they're going to have to rethink this whole load management thing and rest and the science of it, because it's a big turnoff. It's a big turnoff.
I don't know. I mean, again, what does Golden State care about the Denver fans? If I'm Kerr, I don't want to show Denver anything right now.
He doesn't care at all about the Cleveland fans. And that's the problem. There's no relationship.
Why should he?
Ability, Jason, is a problem. When the fans have a problem, here's the problem with the product. Your best players take a lot of games off.
Well, what's a lot? Your 10, star. 12?
Too many. Whatever it is.
Well, you know what? If I were coaching
Paul George,
I got no problem with that. I said, you know what, guys? I need you healthy for the playoffs. That's what matters. I would much rather win. How many games do you need to win in the playoffs? 25?
Usually the regular season is the more you play together in the regular season, the chances are you're going to, and the more you succeed, the better off you'll do in the playoffs. Not all the time, but you have a proving ground where you're able to work out a lot of issues and you're able to get a blueprint of what works, what doesn't work. And it also shows you what your weaknesses are. But I don't like this whole notion that, oh, we're just going to play when we want to play in the regular season. You're still putting on an entertainment product where you're charging. I wouldn't have any problem if they weren't charging big money for tickets. I really wouldn't have a problem. I have a problem with this.
Interesting. I look at it as I'm not putting on an entertainment product. I'm here to win a championship, and load managing in the regular season, if it's going to help me win a championship, and that's what the science and the numbers say, I'm getting fully behind it. Now, listen, the biggest thing I would be ticked off if I went to a game with a Curry jersey and he didn't even play. Would I be ticked? Of course. That would stink.
I wouldn't want to buy another ticket. I wouldn't go back. Here's the thing, what you have to hope for. You have to hope for that the Clippers go all the way, because then it'll be bad for us because everybody's going to say, see what the Clippers did? Kawhi hardly played. Paul George played a little bit more, and they won the title. That's what you have to hope for.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, is there anything that says playing 82 games is better for you heading into the playoffs? I know you made the point that cohesiveness matters, but Mitch, I remember those LeBron teams. Remember those LeBron teams that played no defense in the East when he was with the Cavs? LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin, they played no defense. And I remember multiple times the Toronto Raptors were supposed to be the team to beat, and hey, you got to keep an eye on the Celtics, and you got to keep an eye. And LeBron would just flip the switch, even after Kyrie left, and they would still get to the finals. It's like, LeBron, dude, we've got LeBron. We're fine.
Well, here's one of the deals about LeBron, and he happens to be in the news because he's going to break Kareem's record. To me, it's not the record. He's gonna leave with a lot of benchmarks. To me, the big one is 8 straight NBA finals, I believe it was, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you're saying Toronto's got DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, so what? They had LeBron James. That's a whole different discussion, isn't it? This guy's an immortal. Those guys were all-star players, borderline All-NBA, not even All-NBA. So I never bought into Toronto, and this is old history.
I did. I only did 1 year.
They're going to beat LeBron James in a series. I don't care if LeBron James is walking out there with 2 guys off of Euclid Avenue in Cleveland. He'd beat in a series. That's the way he is. He's just, you're talking about a guy who's he's an argument for Mount Rushmore spot, right? So
he's not on Mount Rushmore?
Well, how many people do you put on Mount Rushmore?
I think 4.
4, good. We're on the same page there, because when you go to South Dakota, there are 4 guys up on the mountain. They're not 5. A lot of people put 5. Listen, there are people who put the 3 centers, Russell, Chamberlain, Jabbar, and Michael Jordan.
Whoa, whoa. Who are those people? Oh, my gosh, that's insane.
They're people who are older than you.
Oh, okay.
Right? Right.
Well, I'm older than you think, but...
Okay. But you didn't watch Will play. You didn't watch Russell play.
I did not. I was not born.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Vredestein tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Vredestein test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcast. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's an interesting, mentioning Bill Russell's interesting. And I'm not meaning this to denigrate him at all. He was essentially a 6'8", 6'9", forward center who played Wilt great head-to-head. If you transition Bill Russell, what he was for 10, 15 years, into today's game, what is Bill Russell in today's game? Because we know what LeBron and Jordan were in that game.
That's hard. I mean, listen, there are people who said he could have scored more. That wasn't his role. Did you know that Bill Russell changed his sport? Now, that's not...
Was it high jump or something like that?
No. He introduced the block shot. Before Bill Russell...
I thought you said change sport. Okay.
No, he changed his sport. He changed... to me, when Bill Russell passed away, I know the off-court stuff, the civil rights activism.
Yeah.
What he tried to do for African Americans, all that stuff. Very important for his legacy. He changed his world. Nobody had chased down other players, block shots, and turned it into a fast break the other way in the first 20 years of the NBA, 30 years, excuse me. He did. Now, if you're saying, what would he do in today's NBA? Well, he couldn't shoot threes. He wasn't shooting threes back then. All your big men have to shoot threes. He would still be, how do you account for the level of competitiveness, the fact that the guy was so clutch, he was 21-0, in winner-take-all games in his life, college. You don't care about that. All you care about...
No, I know. I know. I sound like a hater. I'm not.
No,
there was... I mean, Mitch, wasn't there like 13 teams in the league when Bill Russell... How many European players?
Bill Russell was doing.
They didn't know. They weren't spanning the globe to bring in the best on the planet. Like, Mitch, an interesting point right now is the three best players in the league right now. Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Nikola Jokic, right? You could argue, fine, if you want to toss Embiid in there, fine.
Yes.
All three of them are Europe. They're not even Americans. Yes. Those guys weren't even in the league in the 50s.
That's right.
So there's listen, Bill Russell was a historically great player. He does not, I don't think he's even in any discussion for Mount Rushmore. He was incredible in his time.
It's hard to just kind of slough him off.
No, he's certainly, an all-time great, no doubt. But Mount Rushmore, I think you got to start with LeBron. You got to go Michael Jordan. After that, probably Magic Johnson. And I would think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would probably be four, no?
Okay. Who am I missing? That's a decent four. I mean, you say you start with LeBron. You know, the big difference between LeBron and Michael was Michael didn't quit on his teams. And I'm not talking about leaving his team. I'm not talking about leaving his team. I'm talking about in games in the playoffs, LeBron in Cleveland against Boston, LeBron in that series against Dallas for Miami, that first year of their three. He did things in the fourth quarter where he let his team down. He mentally collapsed. He mentally imploded. You never saw that from Michael Jordan.
That's fair.
Michael Jordan as a competitor is above LeBron James.
I don't totally disagree with that. By the way, Unsolved Mysteries should dedicate like a 10-part podcast to what the hell happened to LeBron in that Dallas series. I've had multiple players from both sides on my podcast and on radio shows. Nobody seems to know what happened. It was so uncharacteristic. All that being said, you know, I think it's undeniable LeBron, if I was having a team, I would take LeBron over Jordan for the first 47 minutes, and in the final minute, give me Michael Jordan. Because LeBron elevates the play of all the guys around him. I mean, he's now top five in NBA history in assists. That's insane. Yeah. For a 6'9" guy who was small forward.
Yeah. Well, you know, Michael, you know, at both ends of the court, dominated.
Yes.
Mike, you know, much more. Now, LeBron's chase down block of Andre Iguodala leading to the Kyrie Irving shot is one of the great sequences, which he triggered to get Cleveland the win. Michael Jordan at the defensive end was a assassin as much as he was at the offensive end. And that's what people never talk about, Michael Jordan. Well, they talk, you know, seven scoring titles, which hadn't been done since Wilt, by the way, and all the great last-second shots and all the heroics. Michael Jordan as a defender, ask guys who played against him, was hell on wheels.
Oh, hellacious. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, just to push back on one thing real quick, Mitch. So you said he didn't quit on his team. I mean, this is a big knock.
Like
not in games. Not in games.
Where LeBron checked out on his teams in the game.
It was over, yeah. So the weird part, and again, you know, I've talked about this ad nauseum. Michael, this is a fact. Michael Jordan quit on the Chicago Bulls twice. After they won three in a row, he quit. I know we can talk about his father's terrible death, but he quit after three titles. Then he came back. They lost when he, you know, tried to play baseball, blah, blah, blah. And he quit again after three titles.
Right.
So he quit twice. LeBron has never taken time off.
He didn't. Here's the difference. I'm talking about when LeBron would stop competing in games in the fourth quarters. Go back to that year when he left Cleveland, that ridiculous fourth quarter, whatever that game was, his effort was just stunningly bad.
Yeah.
Michael didn't do that. He left it all on the floor every night. You never had a game where you said, why isn't Michael Jordan trying his hardest? Why isn't he shooting? Why isn't he busting his ass? You never had that. You never saw that in the game. Now, what you're bringing up is factual. Yeah. Three titles in a row. Okay. And by the way, LeBron James didn't do three titles in a row.
No.
You don't know how
he got to eight finals in a row, which is crazy. Listen, the other thing is
to me, he dragged along some okay teams, and then he had obviously Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, but still eight finals in a row. We're not going to, that's going to be one of his enduring marks. That's going to be very
The other thing I like, Mitch, so you know, you've been around the media block. Everywhere you go, any outlet, radio, TV, print, whatever, you're dominant. You know what you're doing on the NBA. The same is true with LeBron in the NBA. Wherever he goes, whoever his teammates are, whatever the coach is, it doesn't matter. He succeeds and gets to the finals and wins titles, okay? Michael Jordan stayed in Chicago, which sure should be applauded, but he never won anything without Scottie Pippen and Phil Jackson.
Oh,
he won nothing. And when Jordan quit that first time, Pippen led the team back. I think they won like 55 games without Jordan.
Yes.
54, whatever the number was. And LeBron leaves teams, and it is 19, 20 wins and 30 wins maybe with the Miami Heat. I know they missed the playoffs, but they're different guys, obviously. I think, you know, the longevity gives LeBron the nod over Jordan as the GOAT. That's why I started Mount Rushmore with Jordan. I know some people disagree. LeBron over Jordan.
Okay. I mean, look. LeBron's going to leave. First of all, here's the thing about LeBron that's amazing. at his age, he's still like the number one option on his team. I'd take him over Anthony Davis, who, by the way, shouldn't have made the top 75 team. Every time, it's unfortunate.
Did he?
Every time I watch Anthony Davis play, I say to myself, he is not a top 76 player in the history league.
He made the top 75?
Dwight Howard has a better resume than Anthony Davis.
Did Chris Webber make it?
No. Chris Webber
didn't.
Oh,
my God. So, yeah, I would. But
I want to go back to one thing about LeBron. LeBron's fourth title is a 2.0 title. It's in the bubble. It's without any travel, obviously. So he didn't have to go to Portland. He didn't have to go to Houston. Travel to Houston. You have to go to Denver, put up with all that air travel in the playoffs. And the great thing about the bubble for especially lesser players is that they didn't have to face vicious road, hostile road crowds because everybody was playing in a gym in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. So if anybody wants to tell you or me that's a regular title LeBron won, to me, he's got 3.75. He ain't got four.
Oh, no way. Wow. Well, it's weird because if you...
Explain why.
Well, yeah. So some of the players who were in the bubble struggled mentally to sit in a room. I'm not saying it was prison.
Jason, you think that's harder in sitting in your room in Lake Buena Vista at the Disney Resort in your palatial room? You think that's harder than going into Boston?
But it's just so different. Again, you know, Mitch, like
look at all the players who had big bubbles, and since then, what happened to them?
Well, yeah, but that's the interesting thing. Like the bubble, you were isolated. Again, not compared to prison because it's a 5-star resort or whatever it is.
Yeah,
you're in a room. You're getting food delivered to you. You cannot interact with the outside world. You can't hang around your family. Like after a loss in the Boston Garden, it's brutal. You go back to your hotel room. Maybe your wife is traveling with you. Maybe you have family in town. You can't see any of that. And we're talking about 2 months. Now, I didn't do it. I didn't go to the bubble. But Mitch, I don't know. You don't think it was incredibly challenging to stay essentially confined to a hotel room
for
2 months to try to win a title?
I think
that's got to be difficult. They're playing video games around the clock.
I still think it's more challenging to go through and enduring a regular playoff run where you have to travel, you have to get on planes, and although, yeah, they're traveling and they're not going commercial, they're not going by stagecoach or covered wagon. You talk to anybody who's played and the travel and the grind of a playoff run starting in late April, mid-April, going through mid-June. There's nothing like it, especially when you have to take that, oh my God, you lost the game. So the series extended, you have to take the extra flight, which teams, all veteran teams want to prevent that. And then, by the way, you have to put up with all the venomous, all the chanting, all the stuff that you endure. Now, a regular title is much more challenging to me than what they had to put up in the bubble. And I heard what LeBron said. It was his most challenging thing.
But it's not just him.
Because it's not a regular title.
Yeah, it's interesting because Paul George has openly talked. And there's a lot of NBA players who are dealing with just getting in your own head and depression and just being in weird places mentally when you just can't be around anybody. And here's the toughest part, Mitch, and I would totally think that you would agree with me. Yes, it's tough to go into Boston Garden for 3 hours and get yelled at. You know what's tougher? Having a phone in your pocket where millions of fans around the globe have access to just attack you on social media round the clock. It never stops. I know you can easily say, well, don't look at it. These guys were born with a phone. You know, these are guys who, since 14 years old, have been on social media.
Yeah, Kevin Durant gets affected by it because he can't not respond to
people.
Big
time.
What does LeBron James do in a lot of those playoff runs? We'd always hear him talk about, he turned off
90 or, yeah.
Right? He had a term for it. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
Zero Dark 90, I think it was.
What was that?
Zero Dark 90, like the movie, right? Zero Dark 30. Right.
That's the way you got to handle your profession. But look, some guys like Kevin Durant, it doesn't bug him. Paul George, I wouldn't be surprised if it bothered Paul George. He's not exactly the toughest warrior out there.
Yeah, a lot of guys. C.J. McCollum openly talked about the struggles of the mental aspect. DeMar DeRozan, there's a story on ESPN. Like, we saw Giannis and the Bucks really melt down. in the bubble. Like, again, it's different. And
some people didn't want to be there. That was a totally different thing. All I'm saying is, from my vantage point, it's less of a title than a regular title.
That is harsh. Dang. All right. Well, that's good stuff, Mitch. I like the back and forth. Mitch Lawrence, Sirius XM Radio, newspaper veteran, and he's seen it all. Mitch, I'll just, final note, Patrick Ewing was one of my favorite players growing up. I have his autograph. I have a Patrick Ewing jersey. I just love the guy. I'm born in New York.
I'll tell you what.
I struggle to know what Patrick Ewing would be in the current NBA. Because, you know, 16-foot fadeaways, 18-foot fadeaways that he would take are like one of the worst shots you can take right now.
Yeah. I mean, the game's changed. We know that. The game evolves. It's, if you love three-point shooting, if you're not into, you know, if you don't love defense, hey, the NBA's for you. But the three-point shooting, yeah, and I know what you say. It's hard to look at some guys to say, how would they play today? You would think that Patrick Ewing would get a three-point shot. My deal with Patrick Ewing these days, Jason, is my heart goes out to him because of what's going on at Georgetown.
Oh, geez. Wait, is he still there?
I don't know how much longer he is. Yeah.
But it's weird because there's all this love over Jokic, and I'm like, okay, he's a good regular season player. I haven't totally seen it in the playoffs. He did have a good bubble playoffs. But then you stack Jokic next to Ewing, Jokic has already had a better career. And I don't care about All-Star games. That's irrelevant. All NBA matters a lot. Well, MVPs matter. Like, I don't know. Is that a hot take, Mitch, that Jokic has already had a better career than Ewing?
Well, he's had two MVPs. Patrick didn't have one. The last Nick to be a regular.
And I'm a huge Ewing fan.
Do you know the only Nick to be an MVP in the regular season was Willis Reed? They've had one in their franchise history.
Yeah.
Patrick couldn't win that because who was around playing against him? His buddy, Michael Jordan.
His buddy, Michael Jordan. Yeah. Damn. Tough life, Patrick, but I'm sure he's doing all right. All right, Mitch, thanks a lot for taking the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jason. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the back and forth. Take care.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.